A Table of Fables.
From the constellations to the oceans, all the nations, all our notions, it makes a story, a million stories. Can you hear the stories? Can you see the stories?
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to A Table of Fables podcast. I am James Funnyhat, your fabulist. And today, I have a very nice hat. It's a purple pine cone, purple pepper hat. And it's actually not a funny hat, unless, of course, you look at the purple pine cones and purple peppers, but I'm not looking at those, and so I'm not laughing. Actually, there's a mirror. Well, actually, it is kind of funny. So today, there's a question that a listener has sent in, and the person's name is Teague. I may have mispronounced his name. It may be Tige. It's spelled T-E-G-H. So I'm going to say Teague, and I really hope that's right. And if not, maybe you'll write in again by email and let me know exactly how to say your name. Well, thank you very much for the question. And the question from Teague is this. Why do we have a story bell and not some other sound, like a bus horn or a siren? Well, Teague, that is a really, really good question. And you know what? I don't know the answer. But what I do know is what to do when you don't know the answer. And that's science. Science is where you try something, and you watch very closely, and you see what happens. So I'm going to get a bus horn, and I am going to ring that bus horn, and I'm going to see how many stories come, and what kind of stories come from a bus horn. You guys wait here, I'll go get a bus horn. Okay, I'm back with a bus horn. Now, we'll do it just like in the story. I'll ring the bus horn, we'll put our hands in the air, and when we can't hear it anymore, we'll put our hands down, and then we'll see what stories come. Here we go. Here's the horn. Okay, I put my hands down, and now I'm waiting for the story. And I'm waiting for the story. And I'm waiting for the story. And I'm waiting for a story. I'm waiting for a story. I don't hear any stories coming. Well, maybe let's try a siren. You guys wait here. I'll go get a siren and we'll try that. Okay, I've got a siren. We'll do it just like with the bell. I'll ring the siren, put your hands in the air. When you can't hear it anymore, put your hands down, and we'll see what stories come. Here it comes. was kind of loud. Well, I've got my hands down, and now let's wait for the story. And for a story. Still waiting for a story. Still waiting for a story. Waiting for a story.
Waiting for a story.
I don't think a story is going to come for the siren either. Okay. Teague, I think I know the answer. There is a story bell, because that's what brings the story. And now we know, because we used science. Well, today, there's going to be a story, and it's going to be a real story about something that happened and maybe even happened to you. And it's about this. Have you ever noticed that people don't have labels? Boxes of food have labels on them. Bottles of shampoo have labels on them. But people don't. You don't go to the park and see a kid there and it says, with this big sticker, Ethan, runs very fast, likes scrambled eggs, favorite color's brown, wants to be an astronaut, is afraid of squirrels, not afraid of bears, knows the name of the capital city of Nicaragua, has a green toothbrush. People aren't like that. We don't have labels because we're complicated. There's too much information. The label would have to be huge. And the thing is, you can never know everything about everyone. And so many times, you think you know all there is to know about somebody, and then you find out there's more. And then you think you know everything there is to know about them, but then you do something else with them, or they do something that surprises you, and you find out there's still more. And then you think, okay, well, that's all there could be. But then you find out they know how to build an electric engine. And then you think, wow, there couldn't be anything else. But then you find out they actually know how to speak two other languages. Or they're a champion ping pong player. Or they know all these jokes. Or they can make you smile when you're feeling sad. And there's all kinds of things about everyone. And unless you take the time to find out, you won't know. And that's what happens in this story. So soon, you're going to hear the story bell. It's not going to be a story siren. And it's not going to be a story bus horn. And it's not going to be a story coconut shell. And it's not going to be a story jingling glass. And it's not going to be a story squeaking rubber ducky. And it's not going to be a story splashing water over the sink. It's going to be a story bell. And when you hear this story bell, put your hands up in the air. When you can't hear it anymore, put your hands down, and then the story will begin. Here it comes. Not too long ago, and maybe not too far away from where you are now, there was a family with three children. The oldest daughter, Annabelle, the middle brother, Brayden, and the youngest daughter, Cleo. One day, when the kids were in the backyard, their mom came out and said, "Hey guys, your dad and I are going out tomorrow, and you're going to have a babysitter." "Yay!" said all the kids together. "Yay, I love babysitters. Who's it going to be, Mom? Who's it going to be?" "Your Auntie Boombah," said their mom. "Oh, no," said Annabelle and Brayden and Cleo all together. "What's wrong with Auntie Boombah?" asked their mom. "She wears way too much perfume," said Annabelle. "And way too much lipstick," said Brayden. "And all she ever does is kiss us, kiss us, kiss us, and kiss us," said Cleo. "Well, that's because she loves you," said their mom. "So get ready. She's coming tomorrow, first thing in the morning. The kids slumped their shoulders and went into a grumpy mode. First thing in the morning next day, there was a knock on the door.
Come and give us some kisses, my sweet, sweet, sweeties!
Auntie Boombah burst through the door with her lips as red as a fire truck. Her golden necklaces were jangling. Her leopard skin purse was swinging. Her flowery purple dress was glowing in the sun.
Come and give us a kiss, my sweet, 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 sweeties!
Ah! Annabelle, Brayden, and Cleo all ran away as fast as they could.
Ah!
But Auntie Boombah really wanted her hugs and kisses. And she had some tricks up her sleeve. Later in the morning, Brayden was making a block tower. Auntie Boombah hid behind the couch and secretly watched him. And just when Brayden was putting the very top piece on the huge tower that he was building, Auntie Boombah jumped out.
Kiss my sweet, 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 sweetie!
Ah! Brayden ran away as fast as he could. She had more tricks. She went outside and knocked on the door and disguised her voice a little bit.
Delivery!
Annabelle didn't recognize Auntie Boombah's voice. She opened the door, but out popped Auntie Boombah.
Come and give us some kisses, my sweet, 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 sweetie!
Ah!
But one thing about Auntie Boombah is that she never, ever gave up. She opened the window so the house would get a little bit colder. Cleo went into her closet to get a sweater. And out popped Auntie Boombah.
Come and give us some kisses, my sweet, 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 sweetie.
Ah!
Cleo ran away. Poor Auntie Boombah never got one kiss. The morning went on, and then, near the end of the afternoon, she called upstairs and said,
Come, my sweeties. Your mom and dad said that we have to go for a walk sometime and it's getting late. Let's go.
Okay, said the kids. And they said to themselves, this is going to be the worst, most boring walk ever. So they went down the street. Annabelle, Brayden, and Cleo trudged down the sidewalk, while Auntie Boombah jingled ahead of them, leaving an aroma of rosy perfume behind. As they walked up to the main street, they heard a commotion of people and sirens flashing. A building was on fire, and the flames were spreading everywhere, but there was no water coming from the fire truck, and the firemen were standing there with their tools trying to fix it.
Wait here, my sweeties, said Auntie Boombah.
Annabelle, Brayden, and Cleo stayed on the sidewalk as Auntie Boombah walked right up to the firemen and said,
Stand back, boys. I can fix this.
She reached into her purse and took out a wrench and a screwdriver and a ratchet and all these tools, and she started working on the truck. She opened the hood, and then finally she took out her lipstick, reached inside the engine, and she said. She stuck some lipstick inside, and then the water started pouring out of the hose, dousing out all the flames.
That should fix it, boys.
Thanks, ma'am, said the firefighters.
Auntie Boombaugh walked back to Annabelle, Braden, and Cleo, who stood there with their mouths open, and said, "Auntie Boombaugh, we didn't know you knew how to fix fire trucks." "Well, I used to be a firefighter back when I lived in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Didn't you know that? Let me tell you the story." They walked on as Auntie Boombaugh told them all about her firefighting days. When all of a sudden, there was a big commotion and a big crowd of people screaming. A gorilla had escaped from the zoo and was running through the streets, turning the cars and trucks over. The crowd screamed as Auntie Boombaugh walked right up to that wild gorilla and said, "Look right here at my lipstick." She pulled out her lipstick from her leopard skin purse, made a big circle in the air, and the gorilla's eyes followed that bright red lipstick around in a circle and another circle. And then Auntie Boombaugh said, "Hinkity binkity, hypno binkity." The gorilla was instantly hypnotized. It stopped and said, "Go, go, go." Auntie Boombaugh said, "Now be a good monkey and go back to the zoo." The gorilla just walked right down the road, headed towards the zoo. "Auntie Boombaugh, we didn't know you knew how to hypnotize wild gorillas." "Oh, well, I learned that back from the days when I worked at the gorilla shelter in Tanzania. Didn't I tell you about that?" They kept walking, and Auntie Boombaugh told them all about her adventures in the jungles of Tanzania. When all of a sudden, there was another big commotion. "Run, run," someone said. "There's an evil ninja chopping down trees and telephone poles with his bare hands. Run for your life." "I can take care of this," said Auntie Boombaugh. And as all the crowds of people hid inside their houses, Auntie Boombaugh walked right up to that ninja and said, "You better fix that big mess you've made. Now go home, sonny." The evil ninja got into his fighting stance, looked at Auntie Boombaugh and said, "Ha!" Auntie Boombaugh kicked off her high heels, pulled out her lipstick like a sword and said, "Sha!" The evil ninja jumped, did a backflip and said, "Ba ba kucha!" Auntie Boombaugh said, She grabbed her leopard skin purse and bonked the evil ninja on the nose. He ran off. Wah! Auntie Boombaugh walked back to Annabelle and Braden and Cleo. "Auntie Boombaugh, we didn't know you knew how to defeat evil ninjas with your leopard skin purse."
"Oh, well, I got my black belt back in 1972. Didn't you know about that? And anyway, it was mostly my trusty lipstick that did the trick."
They walked home, and Annabelle, Braden, and Cleo all had such a great time hearing about Auntie Boombaugh's stories. They got home, and Auntie Boombaugh sat down and had a cup of tea. As Auntie Boombaugh sipped her cup of tea, the children huddled together and whispered, "Ps, ps, 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 ps." And then they emerged from their huddle. They walked over and said, "Auntie Boombaugh, we're sorry that we weren't very kind to you before. We didn't know how awesome you are, and now we want to get to know you more." Auntie Boombaugh smiled, and maybe she even blushed a little bit, and she said,
"Well, you never really, truly know a person unless you take a long walk with them."
"That's so true," said the kids. And then a big smile came over Auntie Boombaugh's face. She stretched out her arms and said,
"Now come and give us some kisses, my sweet, sweet sweeties."
Annabelle, Braden, and Cleo paused for a second, And then they ran off and said, Well, that's the end of this story. And that is the end of this episode of A Table of Fables. So I hope you enjoyed the story. And I hope that it makes you think that next time you think you know all there is to know about someone, that you go for a long walk with them. So thanks for listening. Thanks for your attention. If you would like to support the show, you can tell all your friends about it. You can give it a rating on iTunes or on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. And you can always send in your questions, just like Teague did, and I will do my best to answer them, maybe even with science. So thank you for tuning in. I am James Funny Hat. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time on A Table of Fables.